Blog Talk Radio.
We'll do it live! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Things suck!
Oh my goodness! We're doing a podcast for the second day in a row! I'm your host, Rob Marlboro. Welcome to Chronic Podcast. Andrew, what is the number one rule in the off season when we have two podcasts in a week? Shit got real.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in a meeting today, and I saw my little NFL app, and it said Jimmy Graham got traded to dot dot dot. I said, "What? That can't be right." Oh my God! The Saints traded Jimmy Graham to Seattle for Max Unger, their center, Pro Bowl center, two times, and their number one pick, the 31st overall. Seattle gets Jimmy Graham and the Saints' fourth round pick. My initial reaction was, what the hell? I haven't been that surprised about a Saints move, Andrew. I don't think since they traded Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
Which is a long time.
I mean, I would say the trade for Ricky Williams was pretty surprising. But it's shocking. There's no other way to explain it. After everything that the Saints went through in the offseason with the contract and Jimmy Graham and the receiver versus tight end debate and just going through all that and then finally agreeing to a deal, securing him for 4 years at $40 million, you just felt like he was in tow. You felt like he was on the team, secure, and we wouldn't have to worry about negotiations with keeping him for a while. But he's now a Seattle Seahawk. It's hard to believe.
Dave, is that you there too? Or Kevin? Dave or Kevin, are you there? I guess not. So we'll put that person on hold. We'll get to you. We identify you by the last four digits of your phone number, 7674. We'll get to you in a second. Dave, we talked about it on the podcast yesterday, and I sort of said it sort of half-jokingly, and you would kind of agree with me, when we were arguing with Dave about, should the Saints – would you take 10-6? And my argument was the Saints won six games last year. Tampa Bay forfeited the final. They won six games. Maybe their roster is not that good, and maybe they need to do a major overhaul. We didn't really know how they could do it, but we were thinking with the release of the players, maybe that's what they thought. And they said it going into the offseason. We're looking at everything. We're going to change. We're going to make major changes. And they started with the scouting staff, and they did it by cutting players, and now they did it with Jimmy Graham. I think, Andrew – Sean Payton, the guy who did Ambush in the Super Bowl, he's not thinking, I'm going to make a couple of tweaks. I'm going to do a little shift into the roster. We're going to get to 9-7 and win the South. He's like, I want to win a Super Bowl. We got to blow this up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is the same guy that kicked an onside kick in the Super Bowl. You know, he's not going to be shy about making moves. He's going to commit to what he does. And look, it's not the most egregious thing. I think when you get past the shock of losing your tight end, the best tight end in the game, maybe besides
when he's healthy,
once you get past the shock of the attachment you have to a player that's kind of bled for you, that's played in games, it's an exciting player. I mean, obviously he's a fan favorite. Once you get past all that, looking at this trade in isolation, you're offering me the best tight end in the game, maybe the second best receiving tight end, kind of a liability blocking for one of the best centers in the game, a first round pick, and lots of cap space. To me, that's a pretty good trade. Now you give up a fourth round pick too, and that's significant. I mean, that's still, you know, you hope that you can turn a fourth-round pick into a productive player.
That's a future
player.
Carry for Tyree Forday or Ronald
Powell.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's right. So I think looked in isolation, the trade's okay. And I think especially you get rid of the Jimmy Graham contract, which will no longer hurt the Saints in 2016, 2017, gives them a lot more flexibility to add players, assign people. And so from that standpoint, it's going to give them a lot more flexibility to add more talent. Not so much this year, a little bit this year, but really in the future. And you look at the extra draft pick, that gives you the ability to improve this defense. Now, offensively, obviously the Saints take a massive hit now. I mean, the offense went through Darren Sproles and Jimmy Graham. That's who the offense went through. And now you've lost those two guys. You get a center that all he does is zone scheme blocking in the Seattle system. So he comes to the Saints. They're still trying to incorporate this new scheme. Brett Engels, the coach, is really trying to get the Saints on board with this new philosophy. He's going to get a center that's one of the best in the business at zone blocking. So from a fit standpoint, from a scheme standpoint, he's definitely a good fit.
Yeah. It's interesting in the fact that the Saints, you know, that 31st pick is really going to be interesting. And by the way, this will be the funnest draft the Saints have had in a long time. 2011 was fun, but we didn't know how fun it was going to be going into it. This one's going to be really fun going into it because they have 13 and 31. The interesting thing about that 31 number pick is teams nowadays, Andrew, they like to trade into the first round because it gives you an extra year of the player, especially at quarterback, because you can exercise or not exercise that fifth-year option. If you pick a guy in the second round, you don't get that. So really, and this might sound weird as a Saints fan, but what you want is you want, besides Mariota and Winston, one of those other quarterbacks, a team to fall in love with them, and maybe the Saints can heist a team that says we want to pick 31 and get a first-round pick in 2016 or a high second-round pick, another one in 2015, teams that have multiple second-round picks. And then maybe, Andrew, you could have, instead of three of the top 50, maybe four of the top 60 picks, and you can really redo your team, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this is a deep draft, I believe. I mean, if you look at the talent up and down, I really do believe that. I think it's deeper, especially at certain positions, than it has been in years. Maybe you do trade down even with that 13th pick and you pick up another second round and a first round pick out of it, and then you get four picks in the first 60 or so. So that's something to consider. But, I think right now it's easy to be upset. I mean, you look at the Saints losing Pierre Thomas. You look at them losing Jimmy Graham and Lofton, and really they only have Max Unger to show for it. And I think there's no question if you look at this roster right now, it's clearly inferior to what it was even last year as a 6-win team with a forfeit, like you put it. But I think we'll see how this progresses in the offseason before making full judgment. And I would tell any Saints fan to do that. I mean, I think you really need to reserve judgment until you see what moves the Saints make. We have to remember this is the first day of free agency. But number one, trade with the Seahawks, the team that just made Super Bowl. You give them Jimmy Graham. You make them stronger. You aid the development of a young quarterback that is good, but he's not great. I think this puts him more on a path to being great. I think you've got to think about not just yourself in the situation, but how much ammunition you're giving a team that is kind of in pole position right now. And when that's your direct competition to get to a Super Bowl, to me that clearly states that the Saints are not Super Bowl contenders. If they're not viewing this as strengthening a direct contender or direct competition for themselves, then to me the Saints aren't sensing. And maybe they shouldn't be, by the way. I mean, remember, that this is a team that had a losing record this year. and plays in a very bad division, and so maybe they don't view themselves.
They've had a terrible defense two of the last two years.
I think based on that, maybe the Saints shouldn't feel like they're a contender, and maybe their direct competition is the NFC South and trying to win a division right now, and that's all they're worried
about. We got a couple of callers. We identify by the last four digits of your telephone number, 7674. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. This is Allison. I'm calling from Metairie.
Allison.
As is Allie?
Kevin owes
you. Yes.
All right.
45 seconds of describing driving I-55. He punked out last night because he had a board meeting for amateur wrestling. We apologize.
Oh, that's okay.
So your thoughts on
the
trade?
Yeah, Allie, I want to hear your take. Give us your thoughts on this trade.
Okay, well, I mean, I was listening to you guys for a minute, and I actually hadn't really thought about us not really feeling like we were contenders, and so just like trading away. But like, what I do know is that last year Graham's trade value would have been what, like 2 first-round picks.
Yes.
And now this year we trade him. We get someone who's already a qualified center. We need offensive line desperately. We land that in a first-round pick, which is good because, I mean, I don't know, we're terrible at drafting, but, I mean, if we collect more picks, we might have more of a chance to strike gold, so that's kind of a good thing. And then I know that you guys have talked about this before, and I wholeheartedly agree, but, like, Josh Hill was amazing last year, and I think that kind of shows that they are ready to kind of give him the reins as the tight end because he's also amazing on special teams. And, I mean, I just think they're kind of banking on him to, like, kind of take the role, you know, coming up this season.
No, that's a really good point, and I was thinking about that. And this is maybe – it could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. And I'll let you go first, Andrew. Sean Payton's ego may be running amok, and he may say, you know what? I can scheme Josh Hill to get me 75% of Jimmy Graham. I can scheme him that way because I'm brilliant and I'm the man.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Ralph. I was talking to someone else today that is I don't know how I want to put this without outing him. I think you know what I'm talking about, Ralph, but. I was talking with someone else today that basically said the same thing. And Sean Payton just has this – a reliable person, you know, that I think has a good head about the inner workings of the Saints. His point was that Sean Payton, exactly like you said, has a good head on his shoulders. His scheme is unique. His scheme is the best. And he believes that it doesn't matter what the pieces are. He's going to put together an offense. As long as he has an elite quarterback, as long as he has Drew Brees, he is going to put together an offense that will be in the top five in the NFL. And you know what? The Saints have done it without Jimmy Graham. They've done it without Reggie Bush. They've done it without Darren Sproles. They've done it without Shockey. They've done it without all of these guys. The one constant besides Jari Evans and Marcus Colston is Brees. That's the one constant. And I think we can all safely assume that Brees is more directly responsible for how the offense has been performing than Evans or Colston, both great players in their own right. About Ali's point about Josh Hill, I absolutely think he could be a starter. I think he is already a stud on special teams and with added responsibility will perform even better. But I think a lot of why he was so productive is because he was a decoy. And I think if he's the man, I'm not saying he won't be good at that job. I think he could be, but I think it will be more difficult for him. He's not going to get the matchups that he got if Jimmy Graham's no longer on the field.
Well, he might for a little bit. He might for a little
Maybe
bit.
For a little.
He could. Well, Allie, here's a question. Thanks for calling. She is I certify her as a super fan. and we love our fans, all of them. But, Allie, if – you are in charge of the Saints draft, and you're sitting there at 13, and Amari Cooper has fallen to you at 13.
Jesus.
What do you do?
Oh, Lord, I don't even pretend to know anything about the draft, honestly, because I just don't – dedicate myself to college football. So
let me just put the question to you this way, Allie. You get a clone duplicate of Julio Jones meets Megatron. You can pick that guy at 13, or you can go defense.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I don't know. I agree with you guys too much about, like, Breeze just kind of, you know, Graham hasn't played for anyone else other than Breeze. So how do we know that he's even going to be that stellar receiving passes from Russell Wilson, who, you know, arguably sometimes can't hit the barn side of a barn? So, like, you know, I mean, I'm kind of deviating from the point. But the point is, like, we have Stills, we have Cooks, we still have Colston. We might have Hill sort of stepping up into this role of Jimmy Graham. Do we really need offense? I mean, I don't know what they're going to do for the rest of the free agency. No. And Nick Toon, right. But I don't know. I mean, I think that the glaring needs are still on defense, and now that this whole Keenan Lewis thing is coming about, I guess you guys heard about him wanting his contract secured or he was going to walk, basically, which I think is going to happen. I mean, I don't think they're going to let him go at all. But
that's not how the NFL works. He plays for the Saints, or he plays for one.
Right. I mean, he's West Bank. I totally agree. And, I mean, honestly, he's going to see every penny of that money, in my opinion, like, totally. I don't think we have to worry about that at all. But, I mean, he needs some help. You know what I mean? And I don't really know who else we can go after in free agency now that everyone's so expensive. And if they're not, they're totally banged up, and they can't even stay healthy for a game. So.
Well, Allie, well, thanks for the call. We'll get to that in a second. As me and Andrew were talking about before we started this podcast, Tremont Williams for Green Bay is visiting Saints tonight. And history tells us when a person visits the Saints and they really want that person, they get that person. I mean,
yep.
Andrew, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, this is a brave new world for the Saints. I mean, my only concern is if players come to the Saints and they sense or feel like the tides are changing. That's my only concern. But, yeah. Traditionally, yes,
well,
in this gloom of state merit. There's a guy they want, they get him.
Caller 6463, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Dylan.
Dylan,
what's up? Dylan from Metairie. Yeah, what's up, Ralph?
What's
Look,
up?
Look, man, I love the trade. I love what Nicky Loomis did today. You know what? Fuck Jimmy Graham. You know what? The offensive line is more important. The offensive line is more important. If Drew Brees has his interior protection, he's going to tear up any defense, regardless of who he's throwing to. Yeah, maybe he won Jimmy Graham, but we won the Super Bowl without Jimmy Graham. Okay, Sean Payton, I trust them. Look, we've seen them rebuild this offense twice, okay? And I say twice, but really it's kind of once. But let's just say, like, after 2010, the offense was a little stagnant. And look what they did. They broke records the next year, okay? They're going to find new weapons. We're going to be just fine, okay?
Yeah, well,
you go ahead.
I mean, you can say it. I mean, they scored points with David Patton and Aaron Stecker at running back. I mean, so
yeah, I think Dylan's onto something. I agree. The main thing for me though is Breeze has always had at least one guy that you have to game plan for, and when I say that, I mean a guy that creates such mismatch issues that you have to pay attention to where he is at all times on the field and who's covering him. It's not like Colston. It's not like Kenny Stills where you're like, okay, we're just going to put our corner on him and we feel like that's an okay matchup. Like, yes, Kenny Stills or Colston might be our guy, but we don't have to change our entire scheme for that guy. And in year one, it was Bush. You have a linebacker on Bush, you're dead. Same with Sproles. You have a linebacker or a safety on Sproles, they can't stay with him. And that's a major problem. We have to address it. And Graham, now Sproles and Graham are gone. And currently, there's no one on the roster that creates that kind of mismatch, scheme-changing issue. And so that's the big question for me. Can they get someone in the draft that can give them that layer offensively?
Look, this is what I'm going to say, okay? And Bill Parcells said this, and he's so right, okay? Don't listen to what they're saying. Listen to what they're doing, okay? Let's go back about a month, okay? What did the Saints do? They fired their running backs coach, and they hired that guy from Arkansas who's really good to coach the running backs now, okay? They re-signed Ingram, and they got, like, arguably the best run-blocking center in the NFL, okay? And look, you guys said it too on here, okay, that, yeah, it would be one thing to get rid of Jahri Evans and Ben Grubb to fix the guard situation, or you can get an elite center, and that would at least fix it for a couple of years, right? So, okay, they got rid of Pierre Thomas, and they kept Mark Ingram. So what the Saints, I think they're trying to do is they're being able to at least run the ball when they want to. And
taking that a step further, not to cut you off, keep going, but Jimmy Graham is kind of a liability blocking. So getting him out of the mix further illustrates that.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound cliche, but you know what? The Saints' two best years were 2009, 2011, and that's when we ran the ball the best. Okay, it's no coincidence that when we're able to run the ball whenever we want to, okay, the offense is humming at its best. Okay, we know that, and you know what? I don't have any problems with what they've done. Okay,
Dylan, quick before I got a couple more calls I want to, but what do you want the Saints to do in the draft? Let's say they sign the corner, Williams. What do you want them to do at 13 and 31? Don't give me players. Just give me quick positions you want them to get.
I want wide receiver. Okay, I want elite wide receiver like Amari Cooper, hence the offensive threat that y'all were talking about, and I want a stud linebacker. But one more thing. Sometime later in the draft, I want them to get a stat back, like a Darren Sproles, Reggie Bush kind of guy, and I heard there's a guy from Missouri they can get.
Yeah, well, Anthony, thanks for the call.
No problem.
And it looks like they are talking to Reggie Bush about possibly bringing him back, so that's
we're getting
possible.
The band back together. All right, we got our fearless leader on the line now. Dave.
Hi.
Hi, Dave. How did you find out about this?
How did I find out about the Jimmy Graham trade?
Yeah.
Dave,
we're talking about the Hollis Thomas trade.
Hollis Thomas is gone? One of the other guys... my other contributors, I don't know which one it is, whoever is the one, one of the guys that's also managing our Twitter account, they've set up text alerts from Adam Schefter, so whenever Adam Schefter tweets something, I get a text message to my phone, and I'm sure that whoever else set this up, they're getting a text message to their phone, too. I actually only have that set up for one person, and that's Greg Bentzel. Because usually when Greg Bentzel tweets something, it's an important Saints roster move. But somebody else from Canal Street Chronicle set the alert for Adam Schefter. So all day, my battery died at like 5 in the afternoon in the evening, because all day I'm getting all of Adam Schefter's tweets straight to my text message. So as soon as Schefter tweeted it, and Glazer tweeted that it went straight to my phone. It was just the rumor. It hadn't really been confirmed yet. And then I got a phone call from a friend saying, "Did you just really trade Jimmy Graham?" And I was like, "Well, I think that they were shopping him, but I didn't think that it was official yet." And then that was it. The rest of the afternoon was totally unproductive.
I was in meetings all day and really busy, so I didn't see any of the Twitter trade Jimmy Graham bubbling up. Did that really start to bubble up today? Because I didn't see
it. No, it all happened very fast.
Yeah,
about
it was
10 minutes.
Very fast. It was like, you know, I'm just making up time here, but it was almost as if like at 2 o'clock they're willing to shop Jimmy Graham, and then like literally like 2:15 it was like Jimmy Graham traded the Seahawks. It was like it just happened. It all happened really that quickly. I was really shocked, which is why I was confused.
So Dave, I want to hear your opinion. Are you pissed? Are you happy?
No, I'm honestly okay with it. I tweeted out earlier that this seems like Peyton's really going full Belichick here. And we just talked about this last night. You know how I feel about the Patriots and Bill Belichick and the way they have gone about building their franchise and building their organization. And I'm a big fan of it. So, you know, it's great to have Jimmy Graham. He was certainly, not including Drew Brees, of course, was certainly the offense's biggest weapon and biggest threat. You know, it's a little scary, I'd say, to watch the Saints cut Curtis Lofton, their best defensive player and their captain, and cut Pierre Thomas, another veteran player. You know, trade off Jimmy Graham, one of their biggest offensive threats. You know, you talk about a rebuilding year or a revamping year. The Saints are definitely in the thick of it now. Really, you know, this move we'll know 1 year from now whether this move works or not. This move, whether this is a good move or not, really, I think, depends on what the Saints ultimately decide to do with these two first-round draft picks. And Ralph just asked caller. Yeah, I know. Ralph just asked the previous guy, Dylan. I'm assuming that's Dylan Federico. He just asked him what he wanted him to do with those two first-round draft picks. You know what I want them to do? Let's go full Belichick. Let's fucking trade down both of them. Let's just fucking stock, get a whole shitload of guys, and maybe one or two of them will suck, but some of them have to be good. And, you know, let's go full Patriots. Let's go full Belichick, and, you know, let's not half-ass this now.
Kevin Held, president of Trade Down, he would fully endorse that move if he was here tonight, but he's probably at a board.
I mean, because I also tweeted earlier, I mean, I was sort of joking, but I'm sort of not joking. It's like, okay, the Saints have two first-round picks, great, but now they can just, you know, draft two shitty players that are never going to amount to anything. I mean, history.
I swear to God, if the Saints package those two picks together and move up, I will have an aneurysm.
That's a concern, too. That is an absolute concern. If you're asking me what I don't want them to do, it's that. It's package the 31st pick or the 13th pick and move up to 10.
And history tells us they love it. History tells us they love to do it. They did it for Jonathan Sullivan. They've done it in combinations to get Cedric Ellis. History tells us they love
Ingram.
It. That's their
Mark
MO.
Ingram.
Mark Ingram. That's their MO. They love their trade up.
Yeah, no, they do. You're right. And if history is an indicator, it wouldn't surprise anybody. It shouldn't surprise anybody if they do that. But that's really not what
such a Saints. It would be such a Saints move. It would be such a Saints move to give up that 31st pick to go from like 13 to 8.
It would be to get Amari Cooper. It would be.
I mean, like, I was kind of wondering if they were going to make. I mean, now that they've freed up. I mean, obviously, this, trading Jimmy Graham that frees up another eight. You know, $7 to $9 million. I don't know what the exact figure would wind up being. So, I mean, they're a good bit below the salary cap now. I think they got to be at least $10-11 million below the salary cap if they were $2 million below. And then Broderick Funkley restructured. That kind of got lost in all the hysteria this evening or later this afternoon. So they got to be a good bit below the salary cap. So I was thinking maybe they were gonna make a move on somebody like Revis or something like that.
Well, I would be all in favor of them signing Tremont Williams before the show ends, and then signing Browner tomorrow, who they want. But Kevin managed to pull himself out of the board meeting or out of the suplex super snake or whatever the hell he does during a week to join us on this podcast. Kevin, is this Jimmy Graham trade the most critical event for the Saints since they signed Drew Brees?
And he's
gone.
There?
He's gone.
See, I didn't even know you were asking me that question. I'm literally walking out of fucking wrestling practice. I'm telling guys bye.
Of course he is.
Jesus, you suck.
Kevin,
your mother said, Trebek.
Forget the question. Kevin, you give us your reaction to the Jimmy Graham trade. We're all talking
about
our reaction.
Kevin,
I was fucking stunned
I mean, I was not expecting this at all. I was listening to the sports talk radio thing here, and you know how these fucking clown shoes are. These guys were actually lamenting the fact that Sam Bradford had just got traded to the Eagles. They were holding these clowns fucking carried water for Sam Bradford and his injury-prone ass for years on end and his ridiculous contracts for years on end. And they kept making themselves believe, oh, he could still be a really good quarterback and lead this team to the playoffs. He hadn't done shit. And it was hilarious. And right as I'm turning the radio off, they were like, coming up after this break, we're going to talk about Jimmy Graham. And I just turned the radio off thinking, ah, whatever. I don't need to fucking hear about the Saints right now. I got other shit going on because I didn't think it was going to be anything. So I just get on Twitter, casually checking stuff. And all of a sudden, I see one tweet that just says Jimmy Graham gone, and I don't even remember who the sports writer was. And I'm like, I'm immediately checking the guy's name and his at sign to make sure I'm not getting a darned or rap
yeah, a darn
or whatever.
Sometimes he'll get you, man.
It was like, okay, I don't know if this is a fake tweet or not, but this is the only one I'm seeing right now. I scroll up. All of a sudden, my timeline is dominated by fucking Saints fans. I didn't even see any of you guys reacting immediately. It was everybody else. And then finally, I don't even remember who it was. I think it was Ralph that just was starting to chime in.
I lost my shit for a little bit there.
No. Because here's the great thing about seeing your reactions, Ralph, is at first you were like, all right, this could be a good deal. They cleared up some cap space, and then finally you're like, the more I think about it, we got an injury prone center and only this and not enough of this. Bring me my crown.
Yeah. That took about
It took me a good 30 seconds to realize you meant to drink. Because I'm thinking you have like a wailing throne, and that your wife has to actually bring you a literal crown to put on your head while you lament things. So,
here's a fun question: who will be the Saints' biggest offensive weapon next year? Anybody want to jump on that bandwagon?
Brandon Cooks. I cannot believe Dave didn't say Mark Ingram. I cannot believe that.
No, I mean, Mark Ingram, obviously I'm hopeful for big things from Ingram, but, I mean, you're talking about a one-dimensional guy. He's good to do one thing and one thing only, and that's run the football and pound the rock. But, Brandon Cook has a lot more potential to do myriad things. So I would say Brandon Cooks. And who knows, maybe Reggie will come back. Hey, you never know.
If the Saints don't add any major skill position guys, Andrew or Kevin, if they don't add a wide receiver, if they don't add another tight end, they don't add another running back, how are you going to feel next or this August?
I mean, at all in the draft either?
Well, I mean, let's just say they don't, like, maybe they bring in like they draft like a wide receiver in the fifth and they draft a running back in the sixth. In one of those two picks in the first round and a second round pick and a third round pick, like they don't add any top offensive skill guys in the first 100 picks and they don't do anything in free agency. It's like, you know, it's like Flanders or like, late picks. It's not anybody like really, you can really get excited about. They're going with what they got now.
Oh, wait, I thought they were combining their two first-round draft picks so they could trade up and draft Jameis Winston.
That's probably what's going to happen.
if they package those two picks and move up, Juge is just going to fucking have an aneurysm on the post-game, the post-draft podcast.
There won't be a post-draft. Well, you guys will be able to have a post-draft podcast, but you'll have to do it via hospital because I'll be there.
Because you are the president of trade up.
No, I'm the president of trade down.
Trade down.
No one here wants to trade up.
No, no. Here's the thing, though. If
look, hey, I'm just gonna say this. I'm gonna say it plain and simple for you guys. If the Saints wanted to pick higher than 13, then they should have just tanked in the second half against Tampa.
Okay.
All right. They could have had a pick that was better if they didn't try to win that game. All right, like Colts, that final drive, like they could have chose not to score there.
Yeah, they could have.
True. They should have. So don't give up assets. Don't give up assets now to move up when you could have just done it by tanking a game. It didn't matter.
Let me ask you this, Kevin. I know you are the president of Trade Down. But let me ask you this. If a team offered the Saints, say, picks in 2016 to move down, like say a team said, we want you to go from 13 to 32, but we'll give you our second-round pick this year, our third-round pick this year, and our number one in 2016.
Oh,
would you do it?
Take it. Because, listen, here's the deal. In the Sean Payton era, how many, like, home runs or triples or even fucking doubles, and I love that I'm using a baseball analogy for football,
yeah.
But still, how many home runs or triples have they had with their first-round pick? Now, how many have they had after the first-round pick?
I would say no home runs. I would say no home runs. Jordan's probably a double or a triple. Mark Ingram's probably a double.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's about it.
Reggie Bush, I don't think Reggie Bush
is a double for the second pick overall.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, he got
– Well, they had
I mean, that,
they couldn't just pass up Reggie Bush.
No. I mean, it was
I'm
a right pick.
I'm just saying, like, the value they got out of Reggie Bush is probably a single for the second pick overall.
I mean, they paid him – what? He got, like – how much guaranteed money did he get?
I think his contract was, like, $60 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
enormous.
So I mean,
the point is, if they want the 13th pick, you know, and you're going to get two number twos right now, or they're number two and they're three this year, and they're number one next year, you got to take that. Get extra fucking picks.
I agree with Kevin, and I think it all boils down to this. We, as fans, like, expectations need to change now. Jimmy Graham's gone. This could be a transition year for the Saints. I'm not saying they're tanking. I'm not saying they're not going to try to win. But I feel less like this team is going to have a 14-2 ceiling this year. You know, Jimmy Graham and Drew Brees, like, you know, if they fix the defense, maybe 13-3 is possible. But now – Graham's gone. I feel like you're going to have to give these picks time to develop. And so, you know, now I really feel like 10-6 is the ceiling if a couple games go their way. But I just feel like expectations-wise, this is probably an 8-8 team or a team with a losing record next year,
if I'm being realistic. I listened to y'all's podcast yesterday. Great show, by the way. I can't believe y'all managed to put on such a great show without me. Har, har, har. But, you know, one of y'all made a great fucking point. Where's the development on some of these guys? Like Stanley Jean-Baptiste, what the fuck? Where has he been? I want the Pirate. I want to know what the Pirate's doing. So whoever you fucking draft in this year's draft, they need to be immediate. They need to get on the field immediately. It needs to be immediate. And you know what? Here's the crazy thing. The offense, y'all talked about the running back depth being uncomfortable with it. Yeah, I'm uncomfortable with it. Now, a couple of games could definitely turn me around on it. But, you know, that may need help, maybe. The wide receiver core totally needs help. Your line needs help. But, oh, yeah, your defense is still the big fucking problem. Even though you just traded away, you know, your fucking best offensive weapon, your defense is still is still the drizzling shits. And the local guy who is the best cover guy in the entire fucking state right now, or in the entire state of Louisiana right now, he doesn't like the fucking team right now.
Well, I'll say this for Keenan Lewis. Props to him.
I think the Lewis thing is going to blow over. I think that's reactionary. They'll talk him off the ledge.
I think so. And, I mean, they can say, look, well, they can guarantee him some money and be okay. I mean, it's not like he's asking for more. He just wants the last 3 years guaranteed. I applaud him because teams fuck over players all the time. So why shouldn't he try to squeeze the Saints on to at least get a contract that he's got guaranteed that he's underpaid? The Saints got a bargain. If he was a free agent this year, he'd probably get $9 million. You know, I think so. I don't have a problem with him doing what he's doing, but my question to you, Dave, is my gut instinct says if the Saints want to have any shot, even in the crappy NFC South, they better get two starters in the draft and one contributor. Like, they have got to hit plus draft minimum to be a contender.
But I don't think they will be a contender. I mean, I think Drew Brees will keep them competitive. I think merely having a quarterback like that keeps them competitive. But no longer, in my opinion, are the Saints a threat. And I don't think they were a threat last year. I just thought going into the season we had those expectations. But I think now you look at how this past season went, you lose Lawson, you lose Graham. To me, this is a transition year. This is a 10-6 if everything goes right ceiling team.
Well, Dave, what do you think? I mean, you have your finger on the pulse with the Canal Street Chronic website. What's your gut tell you about
expectations? I agree with Andrew, and like I said earlier when I first, you know, offered my opinion, I think that the move is smart. Like you said, if the Saints really hit on their draft picks this year, but I'm a little bit skeptical of that happening because that's not necessarily what they're known for doing. So, again, they'll give themselves a better chance if they trade down with at least one of those picks and gather more picks and basically give themselves better odds. You know, the more picks you have and the more players you get, the better odds you have of hitting on a pick or two.
No pressure on Jeff Ireland. Man, they're putting all their eggs in the Jeff Ireland basket early.
I would say this is if they had kept the same group of evaluators that they had previously and hadn't made the move to Jeff Ireland, I would really not like this trade today. Because I would look at the past record of the drafts and be like, history tells us they're going to fuck it up. But at least with the new guys, you can say, well, maybe it'll go good. I don't know. He did okay in Miami. I mean, the cleaning house of the scouting department makes me feel better about this trade. It's not based on anything, but they're new and shiny and different. But is that Kevin, is that a crazy way to think?
I don't think so. You don't know what you're getting. What's the expression that people use? You have no game film on these guys, so to speak. So you don't know what you're looking out for. So
yeah.
Without the script spoiler, there's the element of the unknown, which at least gives you hope.
Right. I mean, and then what's the other expression? That the backup QB is always the most popular guy on any team, that's not doing well. Why? Element of the unknown. You don't know what you're getting. Everybody's always like, oh, man, put this guy in. I want to see him play. And,
Here's my thing, and I'll sum up what my mom said. She said, Not Seattle. Why Seattle? I hate Seattle. Is there anywhere else that would have been worse besides Atlanta to trade him?
Carolina. Carolina would have been worse.
I mean, that to me though, if I'm a team in a division, whenever a team in my division wants to make a trade with me, that's a huge red flag. Is that crazy?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
No.
We're all kind of agreed that the trade up and giving away the 31st pick is the nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
But, Kevin, I'll start with you. What is your dream scenario, and what's your realistic hope that they can pull off for the draft? You don't have to give me names, because I know you don't study players. I don't study players. Just give me a scenario.
My realistic hope is that they just stand pat and actually have two first round picks, and that one of them, like honestly, if you told me that one of the first round picks is going to be an absolute dumpster fire, but the other one, it will, you know, not necessarily be Hall of Fame worthy, but will put in Pro Bowl year, will put in Pro Bowl numbers, and I'm not talking Pro Bowl numbers where half the guys fucking decline. And it ends up being like the seventh string guy ends up filling in at the Pro Bowl. No, I'm talking like legit Pro Bowl numbers. And he's a legit, like, good to borderline great player for, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. I would take that. My golden scenario is about what you fucking laid out. I mean, if they traded down and just stockpiled. Like, hell, if you told me that they could get out of the first round altogether, and I know that sounds ludicrous, but if you told me that they could get out of the first round altogether and get, say, even an additional pick or two, depending on the time frame, I would be inclined to take that deal, too.
The thing is that you have to hope is that some team falls in love with a quarterback or a skill position player, and that skill position player gets to 13, and the team just goes bonkers and trades up with the Saints, like Denver did with Tebow late in the first round. They moved up to, I think, in the 20s to get him. I mean, you need something like that, don't you, Andrew? Like, you know, I don't know. I'm going to start following the draft because the Saints have two first-round picks. So I have to start caring about it. But,
My nightmare scenario is that they trade both picks to move up and take Jameis Winston. That's my nightmare scenario. And, you know, enough people are theorizing, you know, the fact that there's one or even two guys on Twitter that are even throwing that out there is already making me nervous.
They'd have to give up way more than that to get to one, to get Winston.
Maybe, but I'm just saying, they interviewed the guy. There was talk earlier in the off season with Ian Rappaport, the Saints wanted a QB, so... It just makes me a little nervous, especially with the crazy things happening right now. But I don't really feel like that's actually going to happen. I'm just a little nervous about it.
Yeah.
But for me, the ideal scenario is you get a pass rusher that can make a difference that drops to you. If it's Shane Ray, Vic Beasley, one of those guys drops to you at 8 and you're able to make that selection, that's huge. And then with the 31st pick, I just want another defensive player. That my ideal scenario is you get two, you actually stand pat at 13 and 31. You pick defensive players in those slots, the best guy available. And if you walk away with a pass rushing linebacker in a corner, like a Jalen Collins, or you potentially get a defensive tackle and a linebacker, you know, if Shelton drops to 13, you take Shelton, and then maybe you get Dupree at 31st if he falls that low. So that's kind of my ideal scenario is two defensive players that come in and start for you year one.
Let me ask you this, Kevin. This is a fun scenario. What if I told you the Saints site, you could have mystery box number one, which you don't know what the 13th and 31st pick order is going to be, or behind door number two, you get Jonathan Vilma at 13 and Randall Gay at 31. Which one do you take?
We're talking like them for their entire careers.
I'm talking you get Jonathan Vilma at his peak with the Jets and what he did with the Saints early, and you get Randall Gay his entire career, just sort of a borderline start corner, nickel, starting corner, nickel guy. That's what you get. Or you can have
that.
Mystery. You would take that. Andrew, would you take that?
Oh, yeah. If you get Vilma again, I mean, that's a no-brainer. Absolutely.
Vilma's prime is the selling point.
I mean, I think anytime you can get an all-pro, if you can get a Pro Bowler out of either of those picks, I would take it. I mean, Vilma was a multiple-time Pro Bowler. If you're getting that kind of production out of one of those picks, I would sign up for it now.
I would sign up for it right now. I think really that's like history.
How many
tells
Pro Bowlers did the Saints have on defense this year? Not a one.
No. Not a one. You know, history tells us if the Saints have a good draft, they'll maybe get two starters and a contributor, and the rest of them are going to be just garbage. I mean, that's
Stand
the history of the
no.
draft. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, Jeff Ireland was really good with Dallas. He was pretty good in Miami. I'm really hoping. His thing was he was really good at finding for Miami. He did a nice job finding corners for them. I'm hoping that he can do some things. As we get down to the end, before we get out of here,
I got to run, Ralph. So
okay.
Ask me now, Andrew. Or forever hold your peace.
Do you feel better or worse about the Saints 2015, Andrew, than you did when you woke up this morning?
I feel worse for now. I feel worse because I just feel like now this is a full-on transition year. I feel like they're not going to be able – they're going to get guys that could develop and be really good. They have options to get better in the future. But I don't think they're going to be able to assemble a team now, given the cap restraints they have, given that they're probably going to have to use the draft to get better. And that's young players that you don't really know what they give you in year one. And, you know, free agency, they're going to have to bargain shop a little bit. So – I just feel like they're not going to really be in a position to put together a roster as talented as some of the guys they just lost, like Lofton, like Pierre Thomas, like Jimmy Graham. Just my opinion.
Okay.
I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks. And Kevin, I just thought of our dream scenario for Jimmy Graham's replacement.
Okay.
Who would be the most fun person for the Saints to bring a tight end? For me and you, for comedy purposes.
I mean, we're talking just whatever.
Jordan Cameron from the Browns.
Oh, shit.
You get Jordan Cameron and Cameron Jordan. Think of the jokes we could do for 16 weeks, Kevin.
Yeah, all 16 weeks of that joke. That would be great.
It might get old. But it would be fit.
It might get old. Like, oh, did you know Jimmy Graham played basketball?
But it would be fun. It'd be fun the first podcast. And he's actually not bad. His problem is he's injured all the time. We got one more caller, and then we'll get out of here. Caller 4665. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Drooby Doo from the land of the Chardonnay sipping 49ers. Yeah, I called you guys several years ago, and I'm upset. I'm extremely upset, guys. I don't know what to say. Pierre Thomas I can live with cutting Jimmy Graham, but cutting Kerr Thomas. He is the workhorse upon which that entire offense is built. You can argue with me all day long, but you give that guy the screen pass and he finds the holes. He is the guy you can rely on for those 2 or 3 yards that we can't seem to rely on Ingram for, and it's very disturbing he's coming here to the West Coast.
It's interesting in that, you know, Pierre Thomas might go to Baltimore, but Kevin, as we look at this final prediction, the Saints may have traded away a Hall of Fame tight end. Maybe if Jimmy Graham lives up to his potential, he could be. So, and thanks for the call, by the way. So Kevin, give me your prediction on, and I know we don't know who the Saints are going to pick, but do you think Jimmy Graham's body is going to hold up and Russell Wilson will be able to get him the ball enough consistently for him to be a Hall of Famer or borderline Hall of Fame tight end?
Yes. I think Jimmy Graham is going to put up the next two years, I think, are going to be two spectacular years. Because you're going to have Marshawn Lynch running the ball. You're going to have Jimmy Graham going across the middle. You're going to have a quarterback who is more mobile than Drew Brees, and makes that a habit. Like Drew Brees doesn't want to run. He's good moving, like in the pocket and stuff. You know, he's not a guy that you would think of as, oh, I'm going to take off running and I can make a ton of stuff happen. You'd see that with Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson can throw the ball down the field too. So I'm not trying to pull some BS. That offense gets a whole lot better, and oh yeah, their defense is still pretty fucking good. So they're going to get more opportunities on offense, and it's going to be a more wide open, I guess, field of play for Jimmy Graham. So
yeah,
I see him looking really good for the next couple of years, especially while they've got Marshawn Lynch and a tremendous running game.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be really good. And put it this way, if they'd have had Jimmy Graham, they'd have won the Super Bowl, because they would have been smart enough to do the little box out screen pass to the corner. Fucking Butler ain't running through Jimmy Graham to pick off the ball. You know?
Right.
I mean, so I think it potentially could be a win-win, but I mean, you know, we didn't talk about it a lot, but man, the Saints, that center is crucial to the trade. He's got to be a starter at minimum. He's got to be minimum close to Goodwin, would you say, Kevin, for this trade to be successful?
Yeah.
Even if they hit on the 31 pick and get an above average NFL starter, let's say they do a decent job and they hit and they get a Jabari Greer type corner, above average starting corner, they still need the center, Unger, to be, I would say, Jonathan Goodwin 2009 level quality center, because then you can say it's a good trade. But I mean, so we kind of skipped over that. So I'll ask you this, Kevin, in closing: better or worse about the 2015 Saints than when you woke up this morning?
I guess worse, but I'm not, you know, like Andrew said, I'm not sweating it. I mean, maybe this is a blow it up and rebuild, and you know, who knows? In the long run, maybe this will shake some goofballs off the fan base. Not that I really should be giving a shit, but whatever.
For Kevin Held,
that was loud.
I'm Ralph Marlboro. I think the Saints are they have a chance to extend the window that they didn't have earlier today, but they got to hit it. But they got a chance to extend the fun party we've been having for 9 years a little bit longer. So for Kevin Held, for Andrew Juge, for Dave Cariello, I'm Ralph Marlboro. Thanks for joining us for the Emergency Podcast. Until next week.